Well, folks, good morning again. You know, the songs we sang, well, there was a little bit of progression there, and I don't think we've sang these particular songs in a while. But stepping in the light, how happy we are when we're, sometimes we just feel close to the Lord and He leads us, and no matter what's going on in our life, we just seem to be buoyed by that closeness and that proximity to the Lord. And then, as we went on down to this one, of course, before then, I love to tell the story. You know, when we're filled with God's passion for God's Word, we do love to tell that story. And then this last one, I need thee every hour. You know, as we mature as Christians, as God's people, we recognize even more how much we need the Lord. We need Him every hour. And folks, sometimes we are remiss, and we don't recognize every breath we take. It's a gift from above. So yes, these words are very true. We need God every hour. And folks, we need Him today. We need Him to worship Him properly. So again, I want to ask that you pray for me as we go through this message. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul today, and I want to look at this a little bit differently than we sometimes do. And yes, I'll still ask all the questions that I seem to phrase things in the form of questions, but we need to look at our hearts, because this is a deeply personal message this morning, I think, that we can all relate to. Some of it is foreign to us in a way, but we need to put ourselves in Paul's place and in the people's place of this, what we're about to read, and try to think, how would we respond? How would we react? What if it happened today? How would we handle it? So to begin with, we are going to look at the gospel. We're going to look at Paul's accounts as he relates to us, or as he is related to us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 22. And this is not our main text, but it's setting the background of what's occurring in Paul's life. And again, I want you to think about your life. Again, Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 22. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Now, folks, I want to stop for just a moment. We're going to continue. But as we think about what's occurred here, Paul and Barnabas are preaching in these cities, and wonderful things are happening. They are engaging in the work of God that He has led Barnabas and Paul to do. But there's a lot of adversity here. The Jews in particular don't like all the conversions to Christ. So what I want us to glean just from this one little part, folks, we're always going to have adversity. The church is always going to face problems. The church today seems, however, to be compromising with the political correctness of the world rather than standing for God's word. And folks, it is incumbent upon the church to put God first and not people. Paul and Barnabas faced a lot of adversity here. They wanted the Jews wanted to stone them. So they went to the surrounding cities and preached as well. But I just want you, we're going to move on. I just want you to think of this. We need to learn from this encounter. If local jurisdictions and laws were placed and it made it much harder for us to worship here, I pray that we would have the courage to continue on and trust God and keep worshiping Him. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. So they went to local surrounding cities, and now starting in verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in amongst the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned from Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Now, folks, this is not our main text, but what a wonderful story. And a lot can be preached from this. But look at the hardships and the adversities and the trials that Paul and Barnabas faced. They thought they had killed Paul, thought he was dead. But by God's grace, and we're going to look at God's grace here a little bit deeper. By God's grace, he wasn't killed. The Lord had used Paul to do wonderful, miraculous things, and Barnabas too, here in these communities. But they faced evil. They faced resistance. And folks, every day of our lives, we do too. You know, we turn a blind eye to it. But we are constantly in spiritual warfare each and every day of our lives. And if we are walking as Christians as we are supposed to, the truth is that warfare may be more hard than it is when we are not walking as Christians. Because we have tribulations, and as Paul just said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, human nature, let's look at that for just a moment. Human nature would say, "Well, I'm doing all these good things for God." You see, as soon as you make that statement, you're looking at yourself, and you're not looking at God. We might be obedient to God and doing what God instructs us and calls us to do. And you might think, "Oh, well, because of these good works, I shouldn't have to suffer these tribulations." But folks, God never promised us that. You see, we want to think suddenly, when you take that perspective, suddenly I'm earning my grace that God is giving to me through my works. And that's not what grace is all about. Now, grace is a free gift from God. Paul understood this, and he knew that. And he said, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." You know, last week we talked about building your life on the rock. And when you build on the rock, which is the word of Jesus Christ, we can withstand those storms and those trials and those tribulations when they come into our life. The more firmly we are anchored and tethered to the word, the stronger we'll be. Because we will have tribulations. Jesus told us this in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, folks, that's anchoring ourselves into the Word of God. Because these hardships, these trying times will come. We need to remember, what did we read in our opening scripture for our call to worship in Hebrews? God promises He will never leave us. He is always with us, so why should we fear what man can do to us? Putting God first in our lives, folks, there is a cost. You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. But we choose daily how we're going to spend the time that God has given us. Put God first in your life. The hardships will come, but we can persevere through these hardships when we're anchored on His Word. Now, our main text clearly identifies this more. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with us, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And a little background on this. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church, his second one. You see, all of Paul's life, he faced adversity. He because Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. That's who the Greeks were. The Greeks that wanted to they just talked about worshiping Zeus and Hermes and all these pagan worship centers that were there in this area of Lystra. Everywhere he went was mostly, well, he preached to the Jews and the pagans, and he encountered resistance from both of them because he was pointing out their foolishness and the way that they were living that was wrong. And he had been to the church and helped establish the church at Corinth. And a quick introductory to the second epistle of Corinthians, the Bible reads this way. Since Paul's first letter, the Corinthian church had been swayed by false teachers who stirred up the people against Paul. You see, he had already encountered that in other places too. Anytime you are living for Christ, you are going to encounter adversity. Satan will fight against you. That's the nature of this world we live in. Because we are at war with the world. Because of our spiritual call to be God's people, which was our opening hymn. We are called to be God's people. Paul was experiencing this, and that's one of the reasons for this second letter. He's writing to the church of Corinth, again, a second time. Because the people were saying this. They claimed that he was proud, unimpressive in appearance, not a good speaker, dishonest, and not qualified to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we don't know who all these false teachers were. But couldn't that description apply to all of us? None of us are really qualified to be an apostle, to even be a disciple. But it's because of God's grace that we are. It's God's grace that we are believers. And Paul, you might say, was the most influential and effective of all the apostles. You think about Paul's life, how he was blinded in his conversion. He had been persecuting converts and Christians, but Jesus appeared to him. And he was blinded in that encounter. And later on, Ananias healed him, at least partly, so he could see again. And thus started the apostleship of Paul. Now, our main text starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And a little context about this that I didn't put into the PowerPoint. Paul had had a revelation some 14 years ago. God had allowed him to see things in heaven. And he had these revelations that probably very few people had ever been shown before. But God had shown it to Paul. And he had shown it to Paul to strengthen him, to prepare him for his apostleship, to preach to the Gentiles. And starting in verse 3. And here Paul is speaking in the third person, but he is speaking about himself. I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And I'm not going to comment too much at the moment, but folks, there's a lot of humility in that statement. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Folks, have you ever felt weak? I can tell you, when we try to face this life as God's children on our own, we're going to feel very weak. But when we are constantly looking to God, we are strengthened. Now let's break this down a little bit more. Back up in verse, Paul says, "I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan." Now that's a little bit of a, I guess in today's language, an uncommon expression. I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. You know, thorn in the flesh, if you ever had a bad thorn that you couldn't get out, I one time when I was younger got finned by a catfish and it broke off in my foot and I couldn't get that thing out for weeks. It was there constantly and never went away until finally I got it out. A thorn in the flesh, that description that's used by that is that it's constant. It never went away. Paul dealt with it on a daily basis. And he describes it as a messenger of Satan. Now, we don't know exactly what this was, but it was some type of a physical ailment. It's speculated that Paul had problems with his eyes, probably because of when he was blinded. And one of the reasons for this speculation was over in Galatians, when he's writing a letter to them, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, he's referring to when he was there physically and preached. "For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." See, whatever the thorn in the flesh was is not necessarily important. But it was evident that other people could see it. You know, these false teachers that were saying that, well, he doesn't look impressive. Who cares what we look like? It's what we believe. It's what we speak, and it's what we share in relationship to God's Word. That's what counts. But he was given this for a reason. He specifically said it. "I was given this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, lest I be exalted above measure." Now I want you to think of that for just a moment. What wise words Paul just spoke about. Because if he started talking about the revelations, he knew what would happen. Based on the experience that he'd already had back in Acts chapter 14. Let me read that to you again. Paul could have boasted about these revelations to what he saw. And people would have elevated him even higher. But he didn't, because, as we read in Acts 14, that verse again, "Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices in the Lyconian language. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." You see, those people exalted Paul above measure. And folks, that's wrong. They wanted to endow him with the deity of Zeus and Hermes and all these pagan gods. You know, you stop for just a moment. What happens when you start exalting a man above measure? Well, if you look at any communist regime, the leaders are deities to those people. Because if you don't worship them as one, most often you're killed. That's still true in North Korea with Kim Jong-un. It's becoming more and more true in China. In China now, if you don't have a picture of Xi in your house, you're arrested. The people in China can't openly worship anymore. You see, freedoms are being taken away. We take it for granted, but around the world, people are persecuted, just like Paul was, because of their faith. But lest I be exalted above measure, he's not talking about the revelations and the things that he saw. He's using them to teach, but he's not boasting about himself. And folks, that's important. We should be grateful when something good happens to us because of another person. You know, Paul healed this lame person back in Acts. And the people were celebrating that. But what does God's Word tell us? Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Because whatever good thing comes to us by the generosity and the kindness of another person, it's because God enabled and enriched those people to help us. We need to be thankful for them, but we need to praise and honor God and recognize that all of our blessings come from the Lord. So Paul was given this thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted above measure. He didn't look impressive. He wasn't the most eloquent speaker. And he had this malady, we think, in his eyes. But whatever the thorn in the flesh was, it kept him from being exalted too high in the eyes of other people. But it was also there to humble him. You know, and we talked about this months ago. I don't expect you that you remember the sermon, but you think about the 70 that were sent out and the powers to heal people. You're talking about feeling like a superhero. If you could go out and heal a person, what a wonderful gift that would be. But how easy it would be to start thinking more highly of ourselves and what we should. Because we start thinking about ourselves again, as I made that statement a moment ago. When we start thinking that we're blessed because of the things that we do and we have earned those blessings, folks, it's wrong. God sees the good works that we do. He blesses us out of His love for us and His grace, not because you've earned it. Because I can promise you, for every good work you've done at least equal as many bad works. We have the good things in our life because God has blessed us and enriched our lives because of His grace. And folks, He does it for a purpose. Because as we sang, we are called to be God's people. You see, Paul recognized what grace was all about. The thorn in the flesh humbled him, and he was constantly reminded because of that thorn. And folks, think about your own life. When you're hurting, when life is hard, when we lose our health, we look to God. A thorn in the flesh can humble us, can it? In a way that nothing else can. It turns us to God. And it is a daily reminder that we are dependent upon God's grace. Well, how did Paul respond to the thorn in the flesh? To this constant daily problem he was dealing with. Go back to verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God said no. God said no, Paul. That's a hard thing, isn't it? It's a hard thing. When we pray our hearts out, when we go to God, and God says no, He doesn't answer. So, folks, into this, I told you this was a very personal message today. How do you respond when God says no? Or when God doesn't answer a prayer? The expression that he besought the Lord 3 times is usually just symbolic of constantly asking God, take away this thorn in my flesh. But God said no. That thorn in the flesh was needed for Paul. But you know, as we put ourselves in Paul's place, and we don't even have to do that. We can think about our own life. It's not easy when we face some of the hardships we have to deal with. When those hardships come into our lives and we pray, we don't get the answers that we want. But there's an operative word there that we want. Folks, we don't always see the full picture. We know what we want. But we have to rely on God and trust Him that He knows what we don't know. You sometimes feel like whatever your hardship is, whatever the thorn in your flesh is, whatever you're dealing with is, like it's too hard. You can't go on. And you feel like you're about to crumble. And you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and your prayers have not been answered. Sometimes God tells us no because we don't fully understand. But folks, that doesn't mean that God doesn't hear our prayers. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. These can be the hardest words that you will ever hear in life. Because it means that whatever you're dealing with, you're going to have to continue on dealing with it, at least for a little while longer. But these can also be the most wonderful words that you will ever hear. Because when we dig down deep into this phrase, my strength is made perfect in weakness, and my grace is sufficient for you. See, when you are hurting, and you dig down hard enough, at some point we look up. And when we look up, we're looking to God, to that rock that is higher than us. We're looking for the source of our help. We're looking to God's grace. You see, when we're really hurting, we're not thinking anymore about what I've done and my works. We're thinking about God and how much we need Him. So think about, just for a moment, about God's wonderful grace. You know, the primitive Baptist, we've always clung to God's grace in the way that we understand theology and reading of God's Word. It's part of the fundamentalist things that primitive Baptists believe. Other denominations believe this now too. It is God's grace that we base our and build our life and our faith on. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. So folks, when you're hurting and you feel like you're down on your knees, for just a moment, remember that gift of faith that's in your heart. Where did it come from? It came by God's grace. You didn't earn your gift of faith. God gave it to you. It is a gift. In Ephesians chapter 1, 4 through 6, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, we are accepted through Jesus Christ, which is, again, a gift from God. Because, folks, God knew you before the foundation of the world as His child. And just as children we have, sometimes they endure hard things. Sometimes we have to admonish them and punish them. God deals lovingly with all His children the same way as parents do with theirs. Ephesians 1, in Him, that is through Jesus Christ, we have what? Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of His grace. And folks, I said that sometimes that statement is the hardest that you'll ever hear. My grace is sufficient for you. But it's also one of the most wonderful, because as we think about these three passages that we just read, what does it mean? It means that if you are covered by God's grace, it proves that He knows you. It proves that He loves you. It proves that He cares about you. It proves that you are His child. And folks, always remember. You see, we said last Sunday about building our life on the rock. Jesus told us those storms would come. When life is hard, always remember, we may not understand, But we are told in Romans, we know that all things work for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And folks, you have a purpose, because in that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says you were created for good works. So you have a purpose. Paul was out doing the good works of spreading the gospel. Every day of our lives, we need to be engaged in these good works of living a life that is reflective of the grace that we have, of our faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, let me read it again. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How did Paul handle it? Again, I asked you, how do you handle these hard times in your life when you feel like you're about to crumble and we don't understand? Do you look up? How did Paul handle it? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. And folks, you know, sometimes maybe you've heard this expression, the battle's fought and won when you are on your knees looking up to God. Because when you were weak, you're not relying on yourself anymore. You're relying on God and trusting in Him. So we need to take heart from this. You see, we don't always understand why we have these burdens and obstacles. We don't always understand that if we're truly out there living the way we should be, that we're going to face rejections from other people, but we do. We don't always know why we have all these stresses in our life. But folks, sometimes you need to recognize, just like Paul, these things could be due to our faith. So I asked a moment ago, if it suddenly became hard to come to church, if people were out there protesting, ridiculing us, would we have faith to keep coming to worship God? Sometimes these hardships we face, the world is going to do what it can to interfere with us worshiping, interfere with our faith, interfere with us being witnesses to other people. It's happened throughout history, and it will continue until the last day when the Lord returns. But we are called to be God's people. And our faith needs to be strong. So even when we hurt and we have these hardships, we need to recognize that sometimes these are given to us. Why? Because you are a child of God. And you might be the only person that can handle that burden, that thorn in the flesh. Sometimes these burdens take on many different, relevances and different forms. You may feel like you have the burden of being responsible for some other person. That's a hard burden to bear. It's enough just to be responsible for ourselves. You may feel like you have this burden in your job that you have to do something that nobody else can do. Sometimes we are burdened in that way. And folks, we need to recognize. We need to remember what the Word tells us. Whenever we are facing these hardships, we need to turn to God's Word and take heart like Paul did. Because in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even when it's hard, if God has given us life, if He has given us breath, we can face these hard times and shoulder the burdens when we turn to Christ. We need to remember that Jesus taught us to pray what? Thy will be done. You see, that thorn in the flesh was necessary for Paul, lest he be exalted above measure, lest he was to forget who it was that empowered him to perform all these miraculous things. It was God and God's grace in his life. Think about where Paul was. Previous to God's grace, he was persecuting Christians and leading them to slaughter. But by that miraculous intervention, by God's grace, his life changed. And folks, we need to recognize that sometimes, and this relates to what seems to be a common theme this year, it relates to you as an individual. And how other people will see you in your life and the effect that you have on those people. Sometimes the burdens that you bear are not always about you. They're for somebody else's benefit. And John chapter 9 illustrates this perfectly. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." You know, folks, sometimes God is revealed to other people because of the way you handle the situation, about how strong you are, about how persistent in your faith you are, about how you never give up and recognize that when you're weak and feeling like you're about to crumble, that God is still there because he promised he will never leave you. And when we are weak, he is strong in our life because we're looking to him. So folks, if it requires infirmities, if it requires health issues, whatever it takes, the hardships in our lives for others to see Christ in us, if it takes a thorn in our flesh for us to be obedient, to live a life that others can see Christ in us, then thank God and praise him for those infirmities and for that thorn in your flesh, because God has his eye on you. But do not be worn down by them. Thank God for them. And folks, never remember, never forget and always remember, God always hears our prayers. He may not answer on your timetable. His schedule is different from ours. But folks, he hears our prayers. And sometimes, he changes our heart to pray, "Thy will be done," even when it's hard. But remember this next verse. I recommend that you make this what I term a memory verse. Mark it in your Bible so that you can refer to it often, especially when life is hard. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Folks, keep praying for the strength to handle the burdens in your life, to deal with the thorns in the flesh, because we all have them. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told us in the Gospel of Matthew. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they will revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Folks, when we endure, when life just seems awfully hard and miserable, when we pour out our hearts before the God and we don't lose our faith, God rewards us. He hears our prayers. It may take a lifetime for your prayer to be answered. Simeon prayed to see the Messiah, and he was a very old man, but finally he saw Jesus. Abraham, he prayed for children, him and Sarah, and he was very old, and miraculously they had a son. God hears our prayers. Folks, shoulder your burdens. Even if you have to limp, deal with your thorn in the side, because other people are watching. God created you to do good works, and one of those works is to be God's ambassador here in this life. Let other people see Christ and your faith shining from you so that you can be a city on a hill where the light is shining. May the Lord add his blessings is my prayer for this message to you and in your hearts.